Matthew chapter 1, and we'll begin our scripture reading at verse 18 as we think about some of the personalities of Christmas. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would meet with us in a special way, that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, I ask for your strength and your power. I thank you for each one who's gathered here, and I pray that each one would receive a blessing. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The personalities of Christmas. We think about this scenario in 2,000 some years ago when this young couple was filled with dreams and hopes and desires, and when in their desire to honor the Lord, here's Joseph. He's been a good man. The Bible describes Joseph as a just man. Notice there in verse 18, or actually verse 19, it says Joseph, her husband, being a just man. He was a good man. He wanted to honor God in his life, and he has sought out a godly young lady, and they are espoused. They have already vowed to each other for life. I mean, they are, this is deeper than even the engagement period, but they were married, and all of those things, although the marriage had not been fully consummated yet. And so during this time, everything seems to fall apart. You think about from Joseph's perspective. The Gospel of Matthew really accounts the story of Christmas and the story of this couple and of Jesus, more importantly. It accounts it from Joseph's perspective. And so let's notice from Joseph's perspective who Joseph is as we look at his personality, who he is. And so Joseph is an obedient man. I want you to notice, number one, that he was committed to doing God's will. All right, the Bible does describe him as a just man. The word just there, the dictionary defined it as a righteous man, a man who observes divine laws, a person of virtue, okay? So this is the dictionary also gave the example here that this does not mean sinless perfection, but this is a man who was, it described it in this sentence, whose thinking, feeling, and acting is wholly dedicated to the will of God. He whose thinking, feeling, and acting is wholly dedicated to the will of God. All right? He's a just man. All right? He's a man who really wanted to do God's will in his life. He wanted to honor God. He wanted to observe divine laws. Okay? And so here's Joseph. And committed to doing God's will in his life. He's probably, you know, in his early 20s here, and he's been a good guy. He's sought to honor the Lord, although he was a sinner. He's a sinner who needed a Savior. But you know what? He wanted to do the will of God in his life. And here, as they come up in this situation, he has selected, in his seeking God, he has selected a God-fearing woman, a good woman, Mary, as we saw last week. Mary was a God-honoring woman. She was a God-surrendered woman. She was a God-trusting woman. I mean, he has not just found anybody, he has found a godly woman. And they're getting married. He has taken this step, no doubt the leadership in this. And he's preparing. I'm sure in this day and age, he was in this engagement, quote-unquote, period of time. He was preparing. He was looking forward to their marriage. He was looking forward to what God had for them. He was dreaming big of those things, and no doubt he was working to prepare a place. He was working out details of where they would live, and he's a carpenter after all. Maybe he was building a nice little cottage somewhere. I don't know what type of thing he was preparing, but I'm sure that he was preparing. Mary, on the other hand, has had an angel appear to her. We find that in Luke's gospel. Please notice Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And notice here, verse 26. Luke 1 and verse 26, and it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And so here the angel comes to Mary and says, Mary, you're going to have a baby, and it's going to be a special child. It's going to be the Son of God. This is who you're going to have. And the angel, in the end of that meeting with the angel, in verse 38, notice Mary's words. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So here she has accepted this. The angel has told her this shocking but joyful news. And she says, Yes, Lord, your will, be it unto me. And then notice what happens next. Verse 38, And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. This is her cousin, Elizabeth. All right? And so let's skip forward a few verses here to verse 56. She is now left Nazareth, where Joseph lived, and she has hastily taken a journey, and I believe, from the Word of God, I believe that she did not tell Joseph what happened. She didn't tell Joseph that an angel appeared to her. She left. This was all overwhelming. Can't you imagine? This was all, she went off to her cousin's house, leaving town. Going to a safe place, all right? And so she has gone off to her cousin's house with haste. Notice now verse 56. Luke 1, verse 56. And Mary abode with her about, what does it say? 3 months. And returned to her own house. So for 3 months, Mary has been away from Joseph. They didn't text. They didn't do FaceTime. She's been away. And now go back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Notice verse 18 again, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, read that last sentence with me. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now let's read that with me. She was found. Read it together. Say it together. She was found with child. Let's say that again, those five words. She was found with child. What I understand the Word of God to be indicating to me is that Mary, the angel spoke to her and told her what was going to happen, and she was overwhelmed, no doubt, filled with joy at the same time, but she went off to her cousin's house for approximately 3 months. During that time, the baby began to form in her womb. 3 months later, she comes back to Nazareth, showing. And I believe Joseph didn't hear it by rumor, although he could have. But by the words the Word of God uses, I believe that she came back and she said, hey, Joe. And she's showing. That's what it says here. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Remember, this is Matthew's gospel here is Joseph's perspective. And so we see she's found with child. And then verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. I mean, he wanted to do God's will. He was committed. He has kept himself pure. He's desired in his life to honor God, not only in this area of his life, but this just turns his whole world upside down. He's like, I can't believe she would have an affair. I can't believe that she would be unfaithful. This is unbelievable. And he's contemplating this with a heavy heart. And I want you to notice not only Joseph's commitment to doing God's will, but I want you to notice that he was loving in handling life's challenges. He was loving in how he handled life's challenges. Notice verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. In this culture, in this time in Israel, he could have come back to her dad. He could have come back to the temple, and he could have said, "She has been unfaithful to me." She could have been stoned to death for adultery. Perhaps Joseph, it was culture today in this era for there to be a dowry. Joseph has probably paid to her father, or maybe was in the process of paying a dowry. And by him doing this privately, he was probably still going to pay the dowry. And he was going to lovingly handle this challenge. And so we see that kind of the heart that this man had. Oh, for men who had a heart like Joseph had. Men who were committed to doing God's will. I mean, they were known in their community, they were known in their family, they were known around the region for a just man, a man who would do the will of God, a man who even to the cost of his own character, who would do what's right. And so here's that kind of a man, committed to doing what's right, lovingly handling life's challenges. And so love is that way. I want you to notice 1 Corinthians 13. Hold your place in Matthew, but 1 Corinthians 13 is often called the love chapter, and it uses the word charity for the word love. Charity is love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 2, it says, "Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Here is a man, Joseph, who had this kind of heart, of love, of compassion. And I'll tell you what, I've lived long enough to know that in life, there are challenges to be faced. There are challenges to be faced by children with their parents. There are challenges to be faced by in marriages, whether it be financial, whether it be relational, whether it be health-wise. I mean, there's challenges. Our schedules, our children. You know, there are challenges all around, and life is hard. In the 35 years that I have inhabited planet Earth, I have found life to be very difficult. Life is hard. Sometimes you think you're doing well, and then you face a challenge which blows you away. Here's Joseph. And he is seeking the Lord, and he is handling life's challenges in love. Oh, that you and I, oh, that the men in this room, that we would handle those challenges, different no doubt than this scenario, but that we would handle them lovingly. Here's a man who's committed to doing the will of God. Here's a man who's loving in how he handles life's challenges. And I want you to also notice here, verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Joseph is sleeping. He's been contemplating this, what he's going to do. In verse 19, it says he's minded to put her away privately. But verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do you see why Jesus came? Do you see why he entered into this world? And he is coming as a man. Who is God, came to this earth as a man for the very purpose of what? It says here in verse 21, to save his people from their sins. And so Joseph is in a dream learning this from the angel. All right? This is all bizarre. I mean, this is all way out there, out of the normal. Never happened before. Notice verse 22. Now all this was done. The angel is reporting this to Joseph, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now would you read verse 24 with me? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. We see not only a man of commitment, a man of love, but we see also a man of obedience. He was obedient to the word of the Lord. I mean, here's a man who's contemplating this, and the angel appears to him in a dream. And what does he do? He gets up and he obeys God. We need men like that. We need men who seek God, who listen to God, and who get up and obey God. Who obey God. Here's a man who stepped forward, the Bible reports, and did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. This was simple obedience, was it not? Simple obedience. He said, Yes, Lord, okay, I'll do what you want. This was immediate obedience. He wasn't delaying. He wasn't putting it off. He said, Yes, Lord, I will do it. This was immediate obedience. This was thorough obedience. He thoroughly obeyed. Notice even the Word of God here in verse 25 reports of how he treated Mary with all purity. In verse 25 it says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. He handled this whole situation and he said, yes, Lord, I will obey you. And he handled it with thorough obedience. Also, we notice he handled it with ongoing obedience. The angel appeared to Joseph a number of different times. Notice Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. For an example, Matthew 2 and verse 13. And when they, speaking of the wise men, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. You see this time and again. I could show you other examples of Joseph hearing what God wanted, getting up and doing it. Getting up and doing it. It reminds me of Abraham in the Old Testament, who when God gave him a challenge, when God gave him a command to take his son and to go and find the mountain that he'd lead him to and to give him back to the Lord, that special son that Abraham had, which is a picture of Jesus. And he took him there and was going to give him back to the Lord, but the Bible tells us that when Abraham received that command, that he got up early the next morning, got his saddle on his critter and headed out. He was going to obey God. How is your obedience? How is my obedience? You say, hey, it'd be great if we had an angel appear to us like Joseph here, you know, helping him to know what the right next step is. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sure that an angel appearing would be great. But you know what? We have the printed Word of God, the written Word of God. We can open our Bibles and we can know what God's will is. And we can walk in obedience. Every day we need to get up and walk in obedience to the Lord. Joseph is a man of that testimony. I want you to also notice, number four, that he was a man who was trusting his God with everything he had. He was trusting his God with everything that he had. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible reports here how the angel told Joseph that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. You know what? Joseph believed God. He believed the Word of God. He believed the angel of God. He believed God. He was a man who had trusted his life into God's hands. He was a man of faith. Are you a man of faith? Are you a woman of faith? When God brought his son into the world, he selected as his parents two godly people. When God wants to get some work done in this world, he is looking for vessels that are ready, vessels that are clean, vessels that will trust him, vessels that will obey him. It's a great privilege that Mary had to carry the Lord Jesus. It's a great honor that Joseph had to be a faithful man, to take care of Mary, and to take care of a child that wasn't his. And he, his whole life switched, his whole business of carpentry was upset. Everything was put on hold, and it was a focus on fleeing to Egypt to protect baby Jesus' life. It was coming back there to Nazareth and settling down, and it was a life that he had dedicated to doing God's will. He was trusting God with everything that he had. He was depending on the Lord. And so, I'll take you to number 5. He was dependable to those who needed him. You see, Job was a good man. A God-fearing man. A man who was committed to doing God's will in his life. A man who loved the people around him, and he handled challenging situations in love. He was a man who obeyed the word of God. He was a man who was depending on God. He was trusting God. And he was a man that was dependable. He was a protector. We can see that in the account. He was a provider. The Bible describes in Matthew 13, verse 55, it describes Jesus as the carpenter's son. He was no doubt a hard-working provider. And there's no indication that they were wealthy by any means, but he was a hard-working provider. He was a leader. Please go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child grew. This is Jesus, of course. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now notice verse 41. Now his parents, notice it says parents. Now his parents went to Jerusalem, what's that next word? Every year at the feast of the Passover. I mean, this was a family that was committed to faithfulness to the Lord. I mean, here we can see in the example of their lives, they were following God. Here they went to Jerusalem every year, a challenging trip, no doubt. But they were committed to worshiping God, to celebrating the Passover, to honoring the Lord. And so that's evident. And Joseph is a man who was, I believe, from the Word of God, a godly leader. He was a godly leader and a godly teacher. Notice down in verse 51 of Luke 2. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. This is Jesus, went back with his parents, went down to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now I know that Jesus is God. And I know that he was a very unique child. And I know that he would have done well even if he didn't have a father, an earthly father, to care for him and guide him. But I'm sure from the Word of God that Joseph was a man who was dependable. He was a man who was leading his home to honor God. It's the story of Joe's life. Joe was a good man. Joe was a just man. And the Bible says in Psalm 37:23 that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. What kind of a man are you? Are you a God-fearing man like Joseph, who's committed to doing God's will? Are you handling life situations with love, with compassion towards those who are around you, towards those who even have hurt you? Joseph was hurting. He felt violated, but yet he was handling things in a loving way. He was compassionate. We also notice his obedience and his trust in God. Maybe it is we come to the Christmas season and you have never put your trust in this Savior, in Jesus Christ. He died. He came. He died so that our sins could be cleansed. He came to save us. Have you ever trusted him as your Savior? Without the Savior, we will perish. But God came in his love. Think of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you received the greatest Christmas gift ever? At Christmas, God gave his best for us. Have you received that for you? Jesus must be received. Just like any other gift, it is paid for by someone else, but must be received. Lord, I thank you for this time in your word. I thank you for the example of this godly man, an obedient man, not a wealthy man, not necessarily a, by worldly standards, a successful man. But he was a faithful man. And he loved you. And he listened to you. And he was dependable for those who needed him. Help us, Lord, to be that kind of man. That we would be honoring to you. Lord, I thank you for this. I do pray that if there's anyone that has never received Jesus as their personal Savior, the gift has been given. Jesus Christ has come. He has died for the sins of every man, woman, and child. And the gift is offered freely. Lord, I pray that if there's someone that has not received Christ, that today, that this Christmas might be the Christmas where they have room for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.